Hi, hi, I'm Dr. Safaya, a medical doctor with the Wusas and email marketing expert. In here, I take you behind the scenes of failed and successful email marketing campaigns. You get to see what these amazing individuals have tried that worked and did work in email marketing. If you've been curious and like me, you want to know what other people out there are really doing in email marketing, then join me as I go behind the scenes. Welcome to Email Marketing Experiments. John here is going to show us how this restaurant business uses email marketing and what he does to increase engagement and retain them. But before that, John, I have a question for you. I found out something very amazing and fascinating. You mentioned that you're an Arsenal fan, and no shades or anything. I just want to know, how do you keep up and why? I don't think it's easy.
Yeah. I mean, it's not easy. I feel like, you know, being supportive of Arsenal has helped me, you know, to be able to stay on the job. There's like a lot of emotional resilience that comes with, you know, being an Arsenal fan. And then even on my bad days, I mean, when campaigns are not what they are meant to be, you know, I get to use the fact that I'm an Arsenal fan to be able to actually stay on the job. Yeah, so it's kind of, you know, rewarding as well.
That's a whole new angle, using the resilience developed from being an Arsenal fan to, you know, being able to take your marketing campaigns irrespective of how they, you know, turn up. Is like, you know what, we are here for this, we keep going, this is what I signed up for. That's pretty amazing. So let's go into today's session. John is going to be taking us through how we can use email marketing to increase sales for a restaurant business. John Onora is a seasoned performance marketing professional with over 6 years of expertise spanning across diverse industries. Think of all the tech, you know, food tech, laundry tech, fashion, fintech, Web3, telecommunications. He's been there, done that, and with amazing results to show for it. Currently, he serves as the performance marketing manager at Food Court, which is a startup where he leads initiatives to drive subscriber growth and increase revenue. He's passionate about staying ahead of industry trends. He combines his technical expertise and creativity to craft impactful marketing solutions tailored to each unique audience. Now, one very interesting thing you need to know is that he has increased the number of orders for this particular company from 20 per 100 people to about 44 per 100 people, which positively impacted the revenue. And so today we're going to know, can a food brand use email marketing? Let's find out. So the first question I have for you really is, why would a restaurant business even consider email marketing, and what led you down this path?
Yeah, just like to give like a brief background, it wasn't more like an accident. I think it's kind of meant to be. In 2021, I saw like an opening, right? Somebody's looking for a good marketer, literally, that's what they called. And then, you know, I messaged like the person, and later found out it was an agency. I worked there. Like, you know, only to discover that, oh, I'm working for this food tech brand. I'm going to, it was literally nothing. So we had to set up, right? I think then I didn't have like much knowledge, right? But the CEO, company was really small at that time. You know, like took my hands and showed me, oh, this is what Apple Search Ads are. This is how you use an MMP. This is, you know, it literally helped me understand marketing, like, you know, in a different level, right? That was how, you know, my first thing with the company. And then later on, 2024, around April, May, you know, there was like also another opening, internal opening in the company. And then due to that, I've worked in the company before. I think that really helped, you know, in making the process fast. It just took like 3 days. In the initial contact we had, it was just, oh, hi, how much are we paying you? Okay, I know you've done this, blah, blah, blah. So it didn't take much conviction to do. So yeah, that was how I found myself. And started working, you know, internally on a food brand, and obviously looking at what we've achieved earlier, so it was easier for me to build.
So you were coming into this food brand as the growth marketer.
Yes.
But you now ended up doing email marketing in addition to everything that you did for them.
Yes.
So the first thing I'm thinking of is, you know, with food brands, they do a lot of visuals, social media, events as part of their, you know, marketing campaign. So why email marketing? Like, why did you decide that email marketing was the way to go for this particular brand?
I think initially the main thing was that the first problem the company had was like an acquisition problem, right? Oh, okay, we're not getting enough users for the platform. Okay, how do we increase these users? You know, none of that. All right. At some point, okay, the users came in. We're growing like 15, 20,000, 30,000 users every month. This is just signed up, you know, users, not just app install. Then obviously there's bound to be another problem, which was like the retention problem, right? So for the retention problem, we needed to solve that, right? And then, you know, the first point of contact would be, okay, how best do we reach these users? Most of them have uninstalled the app, right? But you still have their emails, you have their phone numbers. And then obviously, I think email was like the best platform for us at that time, yeah, to use. It still is. Then also SMS for people that have been, so depending on which segment, yeah. So that alone, to be able to help us sort out the retention problem, we chose email. Email like number one, which is like the push notification, you know, journeys as well, and then the SMS.
So this is a food business that also has an app that people can use to order.
Yes, yes. So Food Court is like a food business, you know, that has an app, and then you can order your food from there and all of that, right?
Okay. Then at some point, it's like they are deleting it, they are not using it. So it's better to like take emails and the customer journey, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, yes, yes. So more about, oh, how best do we reach these guys, right? For some segments, you download the app, you don't use it, you just leave it on your phone, all right? For some segments, those were, you know, people that they had access to. But once a user uninstalls an app, you can't send them push notifications anymore, obviously. So, I mean, email like was the best option to use at that time. Like, you know, when you think, oh, whatever best platform do I reach them to and all of that. We started looking at crafting out offers. Okay, how do we get these people back, right? Oh, is it free delivery? Is it, you know, discounts? Just, you know, use beautiful images of food and then see how people can come back, right? That really, really worked. And then that also solved the problem for us on a very, very deep level. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Now, what I want to do is I want us to really dive into what you did in the campaign, because now what I see is that you have different segments. You're sending them different kinds of emails. So how exactly did you go about it? So let's hear the tea and know how we actually got to those 44 orders per 100 downloads.
Yeah. So the first thing that we did was just to, I think, we did an analysis of the whole sales funnel, right? How the customers move. And then we now, you know, realize one specific thing. Okay, this is where these customers get to stop. This is where they don't take those actions, right? Audited this particular campaign. Okay, for example, we realize that some of these customers, you know, once they just finish their registration, they don't go ahead and purchase, right? So we knew, we discovered where, you know, the drop-off is happening. And then we started with that. Now, in each of those drop-offs, in each of those segments, we did like segment analysis. Okay, these guys, what's the frequency of their orders? These other ones, what's the value of their orders and all of that, right? That alone helped us to be able to know what kind of specific messages that we need to send to them. Okay, if, for example, that you've made your first order, the messaging is obviously going to be different, right? It's going to be, okay, how to get you to make your second order. If you've not made your order, the messaging is obviously going to be different. How to get you to make your first order, right? Offers would also be different. The messaging would be different. So we did do segments, right? And then, like, a lot of the users who uninstalled started coming back, started ordering. Then we had more varieties on the platform. Like, we had, like, more restaurants come on board. It kind of, like, increased the engagement for us on the app, right? And then, most importantly, the users started picking those orders, right? You know, revenue increased, you know, retention rate increased. And, yeah, it was really, really, like, a fun experiment. And I think the fact that the brand that I've worked on earlier was really, really easy for me to be able to build on what has already worked and then like take it on from there.
The kind of segment they were in. So are we looking at a series of automated emails with a particular message?
Yes. Yeah. There are automated emails for each segment. So what we did was segmented emails for each segment, right? We had automated emails for each segment. We had journeys, which I usually call them, for each segment, right? That alone was one of the reasons why the messages were really, really personalized. You have like a very, very, you know, good segment, and then you personalize those messages based off on the, you know, user activities on the platform. segment, right? That alone was one of the reasons why the messages were really, really personalized. You have like a very, very, you know, good segment, and then you personalize those messages based off on the, you know, user activities on the platform. I think that's one of the reasons why we had really, really good conversion rate from those emails, because the messaging were really, really personalized to the core, right? And then it that helped increase, you know, the conversion rate. Then there's also like regular emails that we do send out for promotion. Those ones are like for things that are related to the general customer base. Yeah, but I'm very, very interested in the personalized ones, because they are what helps us to be able to get those conversions that we need. So it was setting up those journeys. When somebody clicks on sign up now, okay, in the next 10 to 30 minutes and all of that. So those helped us to be able to get those conversions that we need.
That's beautiful. I mean, look at that. It's really planned and tailored based on the actions that they were taking. So it means that you were monitoring a lot of the behavior in what they were doing. Now, I like that you were personalizing these emails in terms of messaging, right? Because it's going to feel like you're talking to me particularly, not just generic for everybody. And I'm wondering, in terms of messaging, you mentioned at the point discounts, free deliveries. How were you deciding what messaging and or what angles, email angles to come from for these different segments of people?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is what's like the objective for this segment? What do I want to achieve for this segment? I think that's like the very, very important thing, right? That's what determines how I go about it. So let's say for users who haven't made their first order, think about, okay, what are the messaging to get them to make that first order, right? Messaging would be like, hi, you know, you have to deliver for your first order, something around that. For people who have made their first order, something around, oh, nudging them to go and get their second order, oh, your third order might be free. It depends on the objective of the campaign, you know, what I want to achieve with this segment. And that's what's going to really, really help me craft or know what kind of message.
That's great. Now, for these journeys, these email sequences that we're looking at, right, that had a number of emails, on the average, how many emails are we talking about per sequence, per segment?
Yeah, so for per sequence, we're looking at 6 to 7 emails over the course of maybe 7 to 8 days or, you know, 10 days, yeah. Probably during the first day, we have like 3 emails. The thing is, it's dynamic. It's not static, right? So you might be in this audience today. The next day, you jump and go into another audience. So once you do a trigger and then get into those audience, you know, the first day that you get into those audience, like 3 email nudges, right? You know, probably 30 minutes after, 1 hour, then maybe 2 or 3 hours later, I'll send that to you. Then over the course of the next few days, keep getting emails. The percentage of people who get to do these actions, like maybe for first-time users, like is really around 70% to 80%, right, that take those actions, right? So the conversion rate is really high. So at some point, even if you get to order, I'm not really concerned about, oh, the thing is just install the app, because I know that once you install the app, get into those email circles, there's no way you're not convert. So I wasn't now looking at it from the perspective of, okay, oh, my first time order, like my first time installers are no longer, you know, buying. I'm looking at it from now, the nuance of, okay, this guy came in today. So in the next few days, has he really, really purchased or not? Because I trust email automation like so much that I'm like, okay, don't even buy, come in, we'll deal with the others later. Yeah.
So now you're now focusing on time to buy and how to even shorten the call for them.
Exactly. Wow. Exactly. Yeah.
That's important. That's so amazing. You know, when I was reading one of your articles online, you mentioned something as a performance marketer for you. You said that understanding customer behavior, identifying areas for improvement, and leveraging data to make informed decisions are part of the things you prioritize, right? And I can really see that playing out here from the customer behavior to the areas that need improvement. So let's talk about leveraging data to make informed decisions. Because I know you had the numbers. You had the numbers in terms of acquisition, in terms of retention, even down to how many people. I mean, when I heard that stat of the number of people per 100 users that were making an order, it could show like the intentionality. So what I want to ask is, how were you tracking and what tools were you using to track?
Yeah, most importantly, like from the acquisition point of view, like one acquisition campaigns, you know, it's very important. I use MMPs that I think currently is in Singular to track, you know, what, because like I'm very, very deep on that data end, right? From the first point of contact with the brand, right? I can see, oh, this person, you know, from Facebook, we are getting this, we are from Google, we are getting this. Then after that, once you come, the lifecycle tool is already there, already to see what the customer behavior is like, right? And then I'm able to now, okay, do like fraud analysis. Okay, people that came in April, 20 of them ordered, right, on Clevertap. I can see all of that. Then also, it's also very important to understand the connection between acquisition and revenue. Like, this is very, very important. How many people ordered from this particular email? You can like literally see like all of the you know, how the email like really, really contributed to your life. Like, Clevertap also offers this, right? So know that you have like a very good developer that can help you track all of that. Also, there's like also like a data dashboard, you know, to understand what's like AOV, like average order value, customer lifetime value as well. And then, you know, depending on what the month is, okay, I want to have like an objective is to increase this. I can use that, understand the message I want to send, and then be able to use the data from all of those tools, whatever that to help me, you know, take those decisions in real time.
Okay. Now, some people in our audience don't understand all the terminology, so I just want to add something. So where he started from, he mentioned MMPs, and these are simply apps that help people who have apps to be able to measure their campaign performance. Yes. And so I believe it provides like a deeper data than you will get from just your email platform.
Yes, yeah. So for that, it does. So from my acquisition point of view, I can see Facebook gave me 20 million in terms of like from the ads I'm running today, you know. I can attribute 20 million naira in revenue to Facebook. I can attribute that. So that way I'm able to make like decisions, right? And say, okay, now since Facebook is giving me 20 million, I would invest more on Facebook because it's giving me the best return on that spend. If I also want to like use maybe their emails I want to send out or their announcement I want to make and asking people to make orders, then I can decide to, okay, use like maybe a unique link, one link, something like that in that tool. You know, so I can really see, once I check the link, I can see how much the link has really generated for me. So it's more of, okay, what is the impact of these campaigns on my overall revenue? In as much as click-through rates are also very good for me. I think for the bottom line, it's about the revenue. And if it's not giving me revenue, then bye-bye. Yeah.
So there's something here that I want to point out, because some people here may have restaurant businesses, but they don't have apps. Then some other people may have businesses that are not in the food tech side of things, but they want to be able to track performance and really know the impact of a campaign. So there was something he said using a unique link in the email. So there are times where we do the same link, we have it in our linking bio on Instagram, we have it on Facebook, LinkedIn, and then you can track the different data sources and how they are performing. But we have these things we call UTMs that allow us to add like codes to the end of links just so that you can track across different channels. So that way you can have a unique link. So I try to tell people like you can have a unique link with a UTM based on like if you're using, say, Google Analytics.
Yeah.
Or one thing I have done for brands that are really just starting out and don't have this level of tech infrastructure is simply duplicate links. So I duplicate the link and I know that this particular link is only for email. So if I'm getting orders from this link, I know that all the people coming have this level of infrastructure. So I just wanted to put that in. Now, what do you see working in food tech in terms of email marketing and the future of it?
Yeah, I think email is like very, very integral and it's something that would survive time. It's something that has come to stay for me. Also, for some of the emails, AI is there, like, you know, helping you create these emails like in real time. AI helping you also track. And then I think in the future, you know, hopefully, even on the platform I currently use, I would most likely start seeing suggestions like the way Google Analytics is doing. Oh, we noticed an anomaly in your campaign and all of that. Oh, do this and do this. You know, something like a CRO, yeah. And then also, as we still have more infrastructure, like data infrastructure, over time, it will become like lesser in terms of like what is costing the company to, because we are paying like a fortune in terms of these tools that we have. I think with time, these things will really, really reduce, obviously, like, you know, making it even much more competitive.
That's really great. So for this amazing campaign you have set up with all these multiple journeys, in the future, what's next for this campaign? Are you looking to do more, or, you know, you're still letting it run while you focus on other things?
Yeah, I think right now I'm not really, really worried with the campaigns, so long as it's still bringing in money. The only time I'll start having issues will be, okay, when, you know, the revenue start decreasing. Yeah, I think that's like the very, very important thing. So this journey is, if you uninstall the app today, you're probably not going to get it again, because like it's just set for first time app installers, right? It's just set for first time app installers. But there are still other journeys for, okay, if you come back, or if you add to cart and you're not getting this, then you'd always get it. So I'm very, you know, sure that that first time journey, like, it's probably when you download the app, you might see it, but after that, that's the end. Then like, the only thing I'll now focus on will be now existing, you know, users who are coming the second time and see how best to increase the revenue. But for now, yeah, it stays running till my revenues drop.
I like it. If it's working, then don't fix it. I think one thing that really stands out for me is really understanding the customer journey in terms of life cycle, from acquisition to retention and churn, all of those things. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't have like an app, just knowing the pattern in which your customers come in and move through your product, experience how it is you do things till when they make a buy, and then getting them to, you know, keep coming back is really important in the kind of email automation, right, that you can set up to help them move from one step to the other. So you come in through, let's say, a lead magnet, and then you don't go ahead to take like maybe the low ticket offer or the next sale that is giving you. How we can have different email automations that picks up each of these triggers and just starts nurturing people. And it's running on autopilot. I think that's like the best thing, because, I mean, you hear any new user that comes in is getting all of those amazing emails and they are being converted, right? So I think that's like very powerful and something that email marketing does. So you've told us a lot of results that you have gotten, but if I were to ask you, what were the top three results, aside revenue, because I know revenue is very key, and you have gotten that increase in revenue, what would you say were the top three results that this campaign generated for you, aside revenue?
Yeah, I think engagement had, like, I think at that time, the average user engagement increased tremendously. The time people spend on the app really, really increased. Then also we had CTR, like we really started having high CTR. And that's why in all of my messages, I keep saying, retention. I think it's more of a philosophical thing. You notice how much it saves us, right? So CTR is there, the engagement per, you know, per user. And then also customers are now able to really relate more with our brand. We became the cool brand out there, you know, that everybody wants to interact with. If you go on Twitter now, everybody's talking about, oh, this is what this brand is doing. So yeah, it was that, right? We became the very, very cool brand. The CTR increased, and then average user time increased also on the app. Yeah, I would say.
Let's go into our rapid fire session, right? And guys, you can see that John has been giving us a lot of gems. I'm sure you can see how very into data he is. And every now and then, he gives us some of this in-depth analysis on his LinkedIn profile. So go ahead and check the link in the show notes, and you will connect with him right away on LinkedIn. If you have questions for him, send them his way. I'm sure he'll be more than happy to answer you, okay? Now, John has told us about CTR. So the first question I have for you in this session is, click-through rate or click rate? Which is a bigger indicator for you and why?
Yeah, click-through rate, I think it is for me, because it just helps me to be able to understand, first of all, whenever you ask me questions, I'm always very like big on, okay, on my position, okay. It helps me understand how my creative is like really, really performing across board. Yeah. And then how people relate with the messaging and then some of the creatives. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So the second question, can a food brand without an app use email marketing?
Yes. You can use email marketing. So long as you're collecting user data, you can use email marketing. So whether you don't have an app, you can use email marketing. Yeah.
Okay. Now, you've mentioned acquisition, retention, and sales throughout this conversation. What is your top tip for acquisition, retention, and sales?
First thing is have a very, very good funnel, right? Your campaign shouldn't be everywhere. It should come with intentionality, inculcate the email, just things that will let your customers know, oh, hi, we are still here. Helps you to keep track of your brand to be top of mind. And then always track, because that gives you very big insight into what's happening in your campaign, things you need to work on, things you need to optimize, and all of that.
So since you've told us to track, what's your favorite tool for tracking?
So I'll go with my MMP and CleverTap. Before CleverTap, like, I always had Apps Flyer, Singular, the MMP, like Mobile Measurement Partner, helps me to really understand what is working and, you know, what is not working. Yeah.
Okay. Now, you mentioned somewhere on the internet that you had started out as a digital marketer before you transitioned into performance marketing. And I think I already know the answer to this, but looking back and where you are here today, digital marketing versus performance marketing, what are your thoughts on that?
Woo, it's literally the same thing, Joe. I think it's the same thing, it's just the naming. I mean, sometimes it's just the paparazzi, oh, I'm a group marketer. But it's like, it's literally the same, because you literally need the same set of skills. So yeah, they're the same thing. But performance marketing is much more data-driven. It just gives you that consciousness, okay, now that you're a performance marketer, you need to just know these things, right? Well, like maybe a digital marketer can be just a bit lax. Okay, fine, I don't need it. But performance marketer, nah, you need to find it.
All right. And then my last question, what's it like, you know, living in Lagos with all of the, I mean, we hear a lot about the rush. I think Lagos is pretty chill when it comes to opportunities, but when it comes to like other things, sometimes I'm like, do I really want to go here? Everybody wants to go to Lagos. So let's hear from you.
Yeah, Lagos is good. I mean, I increased my income by 10 times when I came to Lagos. I relocated to Lagos in 2021. Between December of that previous year to April, like, my income increased by almost 10 times. That was like in 2021. So I feel the opportunities are there, like, really, just put yourself out there. I don't go out, like, I work from home literally, but then, you know, sometimes you have meetings here and there and all of that. But yeah, definitely, like, anybody that feels need to take that move, definitely, I think it will help you.
So, quick tip, if you want to increase your revenue by 10x and more, move to Lagos.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this has been such an exciting conversation. I love how much we were digging into the data, and it really goes to show just what you can achieve with intentionality of data. In marketing, a lot of things are experiments. You do it with a goal in mind. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. But being able to follow the campaign through from beginning to end and note the points where it's working, it's not working, and then fixing all of those things can lead to amazing results like what John has shared today. And remember, if you have any questions, you want to connect with John, you want to see more of all of these amazing things he's doing in all the different kinds of tech, because, I mean, there's laundry tech. This was the first time I was hearing laundry tech. There's fintech, which all of us are very much interested in. There is food tech, which we have seen now, and every other kind of tech company. Then go ahead and connect with him on LinkedIn, John Onora. His LinkedIn link will also be in the show notes. Thank you so much for sharing with us, John. And it has been a delight to have you on the podcast.
Thank you so much for the session. It was really, really awesome getting to speak to you, knowing about what you're doing. Also, like, I've followed you, like, you know, and then seeing what you have done so far. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.